Paul Begley, what a night we have had. My goodness, it's great to have you here on Charisma. We're sharing our stream right now. So I'm on your stream, you're on my stream. So I want to encourage everybody from the Charisma audience to subscribe to Paul's channel, and everybody from Paul's channel subscribe to Charisma Media.
Absolutely. Get
to hear all the spirit-filled content, breaking news from a spiritual perspective, and we are breaking down the election results and really what we as Christians, as believers, need to do moving forward. So Pastor Paul, let me hear your response about the news that you woke up to this morning.
Are you serious? I mean, really, that's the reaction. And but then again, I think about all the prayers.
Yeah.
You know, John, I think about, the Bible, when it says, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive the sin and heal the land. Mm-hmm. And it was a brilliant campaign that the Trump organization ran. But really, God's people showed up. And I knew if they did, we'd get a big victory.
Yeah. You know, you just mentioned about the Trump campaign. And I got to say, it was the most entertaining campaign I have ever seen. Now, I'm only almost 40 years old. But even historically, I have never seen a presidential candidate dress up as a garbage man. I have never seen a presidential candidate dip fries and cook fries in at a McDonald's. I've never seen a presidential candidate get shot before. All of these firsts have happened during this campaign. And the uniting of a historically Democrat family with Bobby Kennedy Jr. to the Trump campaign. And now he's part of this transition team. He's got a place in this new government, this unity government, which is really, really remarkable. You know, whenever you see these different things coming together, what does that make you think of? How does that make you feel as a Christian in the United States?
Well, it makes me really feel good as an American, as a Christian, a conservative Christian American, to see, okay, the adults are finally going to be in the room, and all of the games and all of the agendas and all the woke agenda stuff, we get that out of the way, and we really get down to business and being mature and taking our nation and unity. You know, one of the things, John, the Bible says that how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's as powerful as the anointing oil flowing down the beard of Aaron to the skirts of his priestly garment. In other words, it's the strongest force on earth when humans come together for a good cause, especially when God is at the head. And that's exactly what we're getting ready to witness. You're going to see a lot of Democrats, I'm going to call them Trump Democrats, that are going to be a part of this big movement. And I'm excited to see what develops.
I'm really excited about this too, because I really feel like there is a potential, that there is a opportunity for unity, not just amongst the leadership of the party, where we've seen Tulsi Gabbard switch from Democrat to Republican. We've seen Bobby Kennedy go from Democrat to independent I think he's still independent, but he is not working with Donald Trump. And you've seen so many people kind of come together that were unlikely forces. Even Elon Musk, who has had a big part in this election, especially in the state of Pennsylvania, where he basically on his own dime and millions of dimes, actually, has been campaigning for Trump in that pivotal swing state, which I'm originally from there. So I have a huge heart for that area. And I was excited to see the turnout for that. But we as Christians, we have an opportunity to bring unity amongst the voters, you know, people that aren't necessarily Trump supporters, or, you know, people that are grieving today because of that. And, you know, how do we need to respond?
Well, we need to be gracious.
Yeah.
And I think I saw that in President Trump's victory speech last night. He was not the brash, we're going to win, you're going to get sick of winning kind of Trump. This was a more humbled Trump. who took a bullet. And he even said in his victory speech last night, if it weren't for the grace of God, if God hadn't spared my life, and because he did, I know that I'm supposed to lead this nation to its golden age. It's a phenomenal, this, and he's beyond parties now. He's decided he is the president of the United States of all people. Now he knows there's an enemy within, a communist Marxist group within. And it's not about the American people. He's talking about a select group, a cabal that's trying to bring us into what we've been calling the beast kingdom or the new world order. It's the biblical beast, but we as Christians have to be gracious.
Yeah.
We need to be gracious to all of our fellow citizens and say, hey, look, great fight. We got the, we won this thing, but we all won. Okay. We're all going to win. You're going to see, give us a couple years. The economy's going to turn and we're all going to win this. This is goodness.
Yeah. You know, Paul, you just mentioned his victory speech last night, which I actually just watched. I went to bed earlier, just praying that nothing crazy happens at 3 a.m. Like we saw in 2020. But watching this speech that you just were mentioning, one of the things that I noticed, and we talked about this briefly before we decided to go live here, is that there is basically three different versions of Trump for these different campaigns. You have the 2016, which is more braggadocious, very there was an air of pride, and I would say even arrogance with that. And in some ways you want that in a leader, but you still want to have humility in a leader. Then in 2020, it was kind of like, look at how good everything was from me. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. What we saw last night and what we've seen, and you mentioned this already, is that he has basically given God glory and given God credit for sparing his life, and that he has a purpose for his life still. There is still a bigger purpose. And so those types of things, and seeing that shift and that growth in President Trump, that gets me excited, because you're seeing somebody that is known for being braggadocious to now, if he's bragging, it's more fun. It's more, it seems to be more in jest, but there is a sincerity there that I did not see before.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And it's a, we're gonna win together now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he reached across the aisle and bring in Bobby Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard into the fold, that's saying, you know what? We're not just going to be strictly a Republican Party presidential administration. We're going to be an American administration. Yeah. And we're going to embrace people that we may even disagree on key points. That's why Elon Musk made his move. That's why Joe Rogan gave him an endorsement, because everybody senses, all right, this guy wants to play big. He wants to win big, and he wants to do it with all of us, and he's not going to hold things against me. And, you know, it's really amazing, because the fact that all the lawfare, the two impeachments, the 34 fake convictions, the taking $450 million and sticking it in a escrow somewhere. I mean, he could have got up there last night and just waylaid on those enemies, but instead, and I think he'll deal with that slowly and softly, but instead he's seeing a much bigger picture. This showed me that this is a mature Donald Trump. He's an older man. I'm not saying he wasn't mature, but as he's a mature leader now, there's a heart of God, John, I think, is in there now that has compassion. Not that he wasn't a compassionate guy, but I really believe now he understands his divine purpose for this hour.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of the chapter in Daniel that actually Daniel didn't write. It's actually a chapter that Nebuchadnezzar wrote about his experience, you know, and as you read this, I'm just like kind of blown away, because I think what we have seen is a similar type of paradigm, a similar type of pattern with that, where you had a very braggadocious leader that was humbled. I mean, losing 2020 humbled him. I think everything that he's gone through has humbled him. And what happened in Nebuchadnezzar's life is after he was basically exiled for what, 7 years or something like that, and he was called a madman, he turned and looked to God, and God and gave God glory, and then his wits were restored and his kingdom was restored. Do you feel the same way I do about this? Is there another connection that we can talk about?
Well, there's a certainly a bit of a comparison. I mean, Trump, a lot of folks had what was called Trump, you know, derangement syndrome. Trump, I think, has made full circle. He's made a full circle now as an individual. And he understands God's bigger than money. God's bigger than pride. God's bigger than thinking yourself is invincible. Mm-hmm. I think Donald Trump realizes God's in control, not him.
Yeah.
And now he's there for a purpose. There is some comparison to Nebuchadnezzar, certainly. And I think there's even some comparison to King David. Mm. And maybe even to Samson, who, you know,
He does have nice hair. Yeah. I had to. That's
a good one. But I mean, there is some biblical comparisons here, that the complexity of Donald Trump, which it really is to be studied someday and analyzed, because it's going to be a fascinating study of the life of this man. But there's a transformation. And you know what the Bible says? Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
And I believe that Donald Trump, and I believe a lot of us Americans, I think all of us need to maybe take 2 or 3 steps back, stop the rhetoric.
Yeah.
And let's focus and let's come together and let's work together to make America great. And I believe it's going to start, John, the greatest revival. It's opened the door for the greatest revival. And don't forget Israel. I know, because I just saw that Benjamin Netanyahu was like, praise God, you know, Trump is back. So
he's got a friend in the White House again. Yeah.
Got a friend. Yes.
Yeah. So, there's several other things that we want to talk about here, but I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about this 77 days that we have. And I know, I get your emails that you and Troy Anderson, the author of The Trump Code, which is right behind me here, great book.
Great book.
That actually has a lot of interesting correlations. And I'm going to actually be talking to Troy after you today. And so I'm going to look forward to that interview to hear what he has to say. But there's a lot of very interesting correlations and things that we need to be doing in these 77 days from election day to inauguration day. And you can sign up for this so you can receive this in your email box every day so you can join along with this. But Pastor Paul, can you talk about this and how we as Christians, we can't just say, hey, we won a battle. You know, we got the White House. We got the Senate. We potentially have the House. We're still waiting and seeing on that. We're praying. But what do we do? Because we prayed, we fasted, we voted, but we still got to go. We still got things to do. What are these things that we can do in these 77 days?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've won the battle, but we still got to finish the war. Okay. Yeah. And the war will be a warring against our own pride.
Mm.
Warring. We have to fight against our own arrogancy. Okay. And not just from the Trump administration. But every American, one of us, especially us podcasters and media, like, you know, and authors, we have to be careful that we walk in humility, yet in confidence in Christ and confidence in our nation. And America is needed. We are the strong man. You know, we are the leader to bring the gospel, the Great Commission, to the world. And this is going to be the golden age. I mean, the golden era, the golden opportunity. And the church has got to take advantage of this globally and missionary work and everything else. And I've been thinking about, I'm building a church right now in Pakistan. I'm thinking, I was just looking at the pictures of it yesterday. And I got 280 evangelists working for me out, running around, preaching all over India.
Wow.
And, you know, and then I think about Samaritan Purse. I think about all these other great ministries that are doing great work around the world. this is our hour. Maybe it's time for an American revival. Maybe it's time that we fall on our knees. And I think that we have been. I think the church has been, John. And that's why we're seeing this first big, big victory. But we got to finish it. And I think part of it is this. Let's keep talking to our congressmen. We're going to have a whole new. Let's make sure they understand the mandate.
Right.
What we want. We don't want parental rights taken from our parents from their school. Let's keep getting on the school boards. Let's keep running for mayor. Let's keep running for city council. Run for Congress. Keep running for the Senate. Keep putting Christians in key positions so that we can keep this movement of God and goodness going forward. I think that's, we've got it. Trump's really done his job as far as getting in position with our help, voting and prayers, but we've got, and we got to check our heart. There's somebody watching me right now that should be running for their local school board.
That's a good word.
They need to do it. Step up. God's already told you that. Step up. We can do this, and we can change the atmosphere of America.
Yeah. If you feel that that is you that needs to run for school board, put in the comments right now, that's me, I need to run. And we want to join with you and pray for you. And everybody that's watching, if you see that comment there, reply to that and let them know that you're going to be praying and you're going to be helping them with whatever they can. We need, so President Donald Trump is like the tip of the spear, piercing through something. But he needs the rest of the spear to continue to go through, because otherwise that tip of the spear is just kind of like a needle. It doesn't actually go through fully. It's going to make an impact, but it's not going to do the full thing that it's supposed to do. That razor's edge is really important, but you got to get the rest of it to go through.
Okay. So, Charmelin Woods over at my YouTube channel, Charmelin Woods says, that's me. I need
Charmelin Woods. Good, good. That's great. Sir Charmelin, we are praying for you. I'm looking for that comment to see if I can put it up here. There's so many people that are commenting. This is great. I love this, but I'm glad you caught that, Pastor Paul. You mentioned that you have people around the world. You've got missionaries that you're working with. I saw this video, and I'm going to play this just now.
Okay.
It's children in India praying for President Trump. Have you seen this yet?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay, so I want to get your full reaction to this as I'm loading this here.
Deadly protection with it. Witchcraft powers be defeated. Black magic powers be destroyed.
Just listen to the fervence of their prayers. This is what I would love to see here.
Let us start in the presence of God and let's pray for President Trump, family, team, and USA. Let the Spirit of God be poured upon President Trump. Fair elections be conducted. No rigging. All Christians come and vote for President Trump. Angel presence with Trump and team. Angel powers help him. Protection with you. Every evil be revealed and destroyed. Let every power of darkness be destroyed. Witchcraft powers be defeated. Black magic powers be destroyed. Powers of demonic evil spirits be cast down and destroyed. Every dead spirit destroyed. Jealous spirit destroyed. Spirit of anger destroyed. Adultery and lust spirit destroyed. Lying spirit destroyed. Spirit of division destroyed. Deceiving spirits be destroyed. Holy Spirit fire be poured upon USA and the world. End time revival, fire and harvest spread. Joel 2:28 be manifested. Peaceful elections be conducted. Blessings upon President Trump's family for protection, for health, for wisdom, for knowledge, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit anointing upon President Trump. Peace in the world through him. Pray has the Spirit leads in the Holy Spirit.
Oh man, doesn't that just give you chills?
Oh, it gave me chills. It gave me joy. I got tears. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful, one of the most powerful prayers. And you talk about spiritual warfare. I mean,
yeah.
And these kids understand it, going right after those demonic spirits, those principalities and powers that we wrestle against, and binding them and commanding them to be defeated. And these are children in India, John, praying for the United States, for President Trump to have victory. This is what I'm saying. This is why God put him into power. It's because he heard our cry. He heard the world's cry.
Yeah.
And this is phenomenal. That's one of the greatest videos I've ever seen in my life. And I wonder how soon was that before the vote? I mean, was that just days or?
I'm not sure. I just I saw that on social media. It was shared with me yesterday, so I just grabbed that and I was planning on doing something else with it. But I'm like, you mentioned India, and I'm like, we've got to share this. We've got to talk about this because people need to see the fervent prayers of a righteous child availeth much.
Amen. A child shall lead them, John. Yeah. You know, and when you talk about India right there, okay, yeah. So these 280 evangelists I have that are riding bicycles into villages and preaching, but also the guy I have at heads it all, his name is Sammy Naik, Reverend Sammy Naik. He's little guy, 5'2", most mighty man in India. He's preaching to crowds of 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. The revival is sweeping India like never before. And so, you know, thank God. This is the end time revival. I believe because you got what's going on in the Holy Land. You got the war, you know, in Europe. John, I think we are at the Joel 2 moment, the great outpouring. The signs are in the heavens. We've been watching them. This is it. This is the moment. The golden age that Trump talks about for America may actually be, he may have just prophesied the golden age of revival for the world.
So I know you are like me, where we do believe that there is an end time harvest, that there is a revival that is coming and is going to break through before the end comes. Because I truly believe in what Jesus said, that the gospel shall be preached around the world and then the end shall come. Okay. I spent 8 years as a missionary to 15 different countries. So I have a heart for this.
Praise God.
And I know you do as well. And the gospel hasn't reached the ends of the earth. Now, God is not waiting, just being like, oh, they've got it so screwed up. I got to go back in and fix them. He gave us a mandate to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We haven't done that yet. We're getting close. We're getting close. But his heart is soothed. His heart is comforted when lost people come to Jesus.
Amen.
What we have been given just now is a reprieve. We have been, the judgment has been held off. And yes, there might be some people that disagree with me about that, but the judgment has been held off.
Yep.
The judgment on our nation has been held off so that, not so that we can just have benefits and have a good old time and have, you know, cookouts on the 4th of July. It is so that we can be the biggest nation sending missionaries out again, so that we can be the loudest voice for Jesus around the world again, so that we can not just make America great again, so that we can make the world godly. We can bring the lost to him, and we can, that the father of the prodigal son, you see how you, as you read, that he is overjoyed when one sinner, when one son, when one lost person comes to Jesus, when he comes back home. We want to make our Father, we want to make Jesus so happy. We know that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to know Jesus. When one sinner comes to know Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. And what that literally means, the description for rejoice, is to jump up, spin around, come down with a loud shout. I mean, you're literally causing heaven to shake when people come to know Jesus and give their lives to him.
Amen.
This is our opportunity, church. This is our opportunity to get out there and to preach the gospel. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now, but we need to really get out there. Use your voice on social media. Go to the highways and the byways. Get out into the hills and the dales. Go to other countries. Go to the coffee shops. Go all of it. This is our time.
This is
our time. We Amen. Have our voice is not going to be shut down like it would have been.
Amen. I was at church.
I'm preaching. Go ahead. I know you got something to say, brother. Go ahead.
An elderly lady gave this to me at church Sunday. Make America Godly Again. Okay. End time revival. You know, Troy Anderson and I wrote the book Revelation 9/11. And yeah, we talk about Apollyon coming out of the pit and all the woke stuff and AI and all that. But then we get you in this book. We take you to the end time great revival and how it comes about. And it's so, that's why I'm so excited because, John, it's happening. Okay. I've been preaching this for 40 years. I've been in ministry 40 years, telling everybody I've been preaching that Joel 2 and Acts 2 and this is that and all of that. And I'm really serious. This is that. Okay. I really believe.
I love it.
And you're on fire. I mean, but the fact that you're saying that let's get out there and let's take the gospel to the world. Remember when we couldn't say Merry Christmas, John? Okay, we can not only say Merry Christmas, but we can sing Hallelujah. And matter of fact, let's just gather at the courthouse square and let's just go ahead and start lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen. Nobody's going to stop us. The people are starving to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And like you said, let's take it to the four corners of the globe. Let's win every soul we can. And I'm going to say those of you preachers and folks watching this broadcast right now or in the archives, look. Start giving altar calls. I mean, it's okay at the end of your podcast to say, if there's anybody watching right now that want to give their life to Christ, just type in there, I want to be saved. And, you know, I do that every time. And of course, people are getting saved every day. But I mean, really, this is the moment. This is our chance in every way. So, John, you're on fire. What am I saying? You're on fire.
Well, I just want to piggyback off of something you just said about Merry Christmas. Yeah, I was just in my mind playing the clip of Kamala saying how dare they say Merry Christmas? Yeah. How dare we say Merry Christmas? I want everybody in the comments right now, type Merry Christmas. Type Merry Christmas in the comments.
Let's do this thing. Type
Jesus is Lord in the comments. And I just want to blow this up with Merry Christmas. Yes, it's November, but it feels like Christmas morning to me. I'm really sorry.
I mean, it really
there we go. It's got some Merry Christmas in there already. This is
it's
great.
It's flowing over there. Oh, yeah.
You know, Pastor Paul, I feel like this is a fire moment right now. And I just want to pray for people. And anybody that wants to, that you feel a tug on, there's so many Merry Christmases in the comments. This is wonderful. Yes, I know we're 1 month away, but it feels like Christmas today. But I just wanted to pray with people right now. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want to be a part of making Jesus happy, making Father God happy, just repeat after me right now. Say, Father God, I thank you so much for sending Jesus for me. Jesus, I am a sinner. I don't deserve your grace or your mercy, but I receive it because you have given it to me. I put my whole trust in you. I put my whole faith in you, Jesus, and what you did on the cross for me. I deserve that punishment, but you took it for me. Thank you, Jesus. I want to live for you from now on. My life is changed because of you. Holy Spirit, come in and take over my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Jesus, so that I can be more like you every day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for raising from the dead, and you are alive today. And I will live for you from now on. Amen.
Amen.
Pray that with me. Just put amen in the comments. And we want to be able to try to connect with you. But Pastor Paul, what do people do next?
Well, I always say to folks, okay, welcome to the family. Okay, welcome to the family of God. The next thing you should do is find a church, find a pastor locally maybe, and get baptized. Okay, let's do that step. That was that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You just got saved, but let's just go ahead and fulfill that. And then find a local assembly somewhere where you feel comfortable and worship the Lord and learn of the Lord and start sharing Jesus with other people. Okay. Just keep sharing the good news. Tell people to read Charisma Magazine, follow John on his podcast and everything he's doing, and learn as much as you can about the goodness of God. And welcome to your brand new life. Really.
Amen.
Brand Amen. New life.
You know, I didn't want to miss that moment there, but there's so many other things that we wanted to talk about that we were just talking about beforehand. You know, we need to be gracious in victory. I mean, there's like, there is, it's easy to just kind of point the finger and say, you know, nana nana poo poo, we're better than you. That's not what we want to do. We're not going to ever win people over that way.
No.
Even though in your flesh feels like that's what you want to do, don't do that. Don't do that right now. I'm just speaking to all the Christians out there. Don't right. succumb to the world. We are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Whatever it is that's causing your mind to feel like that's an okay thing to do, stop it and get back in the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's okay to be happy today. It's all right to celebrate. But as you said, John, let's reach out to our fellow man. Okay. Our neighbors, our party, maybe, you know, a lot of families.
Yeah.
A lot of families have been, very, very contentious over all this. We got to reach out to those that maybe didn't understand or, you know, and say, hey, look, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Trump's not going to wreck the world. Matter of fact, he's going to probably end these wars. Mm-hmm. And, jobs are going to start being created. Let's just all hold hands and wait for a moment. The people have spoken. And I told you, John, I did a little opposition research. I watched a little bit of MSNBC, a little CNN this morning, and it was like a funeral. But at the same time, they were admitting, the media was admitting that the social issues and this social woke agenda was pushed and shoved down the throat of the American people, and the American people pushed back.
Yeah.
And said, no, you're not messing with my kids. You're not messing with my family. You're not messing with my God. You got to back down. And the people have spoken, and they've spoken huge. Do you have that graph of the,
yeah,
should we even show that? I mean, it's just a question. It folks, when do you see this graph of the popular vote over the last, I think, four election cycles?
Last four election cycles. So we have the 2012 right over here on the left.
That was Obama over Romney, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this one was Trump over Hillary.
Okay.
This is the popular vote. And then you have this one, which was Biden over Trump.
Which is
2020.
84.
And then this one is our current election here.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. How did the Democrat vote go from 84 million to 66 million? Where did those 20 million people go?
I guess they didn't have the joy.
I mean, this has got to be discussed, I think, historically, when they start talking about why was there January 6th, maybe why was there such a reaction by the world, is, you know, these numbers just, I mean, if you take the 2020 numbers out of there and just look across the other three, you can see that there was a very powerful move. This time, legitimate move, you know, but you just wonder what all that was about. But I'm not going to debate that anymore. We got to move on. But it is a very interesting graph. I'll say that.
Definitely something to pray for exposure. Pray that the things that the deeds that were done in darkness will be revealed in the light, and that the truth will be made known, and that justice will prevail. That's kind of how I've been praying. And literally in 2020, I want to say it was June 1st, I had a vision of a linchpin, and I woke up with hearing this in my spirit saying, pray for the linchpin, pull the linchpin. And the linchpin is that little cotter pin or whatever, that it's really what's holding the wheels on.
Yes.
It's what's holding the wheels of a cart on, or a wheelbarrow or a car. And if you pull that, there's nothing that's going to hold that wheel on in place anymore. And I believe in my spirit that what we saw is the beginnings of that linchpin being pulled. The wheels have fallen off, and there is exposure that is going to be happening here. But we were just looking at these previous elections, and I made a comment before we got started here that what would have happened if Trump would have won in 2020 versus now? If you think about the people that are around him now versus the people that were around him in 2020, would we feel confident about a Mike Pence carrying on after Trump?
No.
Are we more confident about J.D. Vance at this point?
I think we're much more confident in J.D. Vance. And he has proven to be he's a brilliant, brilliant young man. But what he's overcome
in
life and where his family's from. I mean, his mother went to the same high school where my mother went. Okay.
Really? East
Kentucky, Breathitt County, Jackson, Kentucky. I mean, some of his family are married in with some of my cousins. Okay. So, I know exactly what Appalachia is all about. And so where he came from and how he excelled at Ohio State and on into to law school and number one in his class, this guy's brilliant. But more importantly than all the brains he has, there's something about right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows God. He knows what Christ means to his life. And I think he's starting to look around and say, uh-oh, maybe I've been chosen for such a time as this.
Yeah.
So we got to pray for that young man to stay humble and to be ready, because he may have to carry on for another 8 years after Trump.
Yeah. And one of the themes that Trump brought out, and actually the banners in the convention hall last night where he had his victory speech, say dream big again.
I like
it. It's not just make America great again. It's dream big again. It's taking this even further. Now, this reminds me of what we were just talking about with Joel 2 and Acts 2 of when in the last days I will pour out my spirit and the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams. For you, what does this mean to how do we connect with that verse to what we're seeing right now? What does it mean to dream again?
Yeah, I think it's twofold maybe. One, it's good to dream for the future, not only for yourself, but for your children and your grandchildren and beyond, to dream that they can excel. And again, an American exceptionalism. Okay. It's okay to have the entrepreneur spirit. It's okay to excel in different walks of life. And it's dream of your family being blessed and prosperous, but also dream of the kingdom of heaven expanding and community and people coming to Christ and souls coming into the kingdom and the glory of God radiating. I mean, I can't wait to hear the Christmas caroling this year. I just think there's going to be, you know, bells ringing and children singing. And, I just feel this joy. It's real joy. It's not a fake joy. It's an actual, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
So I say dream big. Pastors, ministries, dream big. Dream beyond your four walls. See the outreach that you can do. Make a difference in the community and beyond. Let's do it. Let's dream big. And matter of fact, technologically, who knows what we'll accomplish. We've got some brilliant people. But the best thing we could do is make life better for our fellow man and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. So dream big.
You know, with I received a video of what was happening at a part of the victory speech or the victory event. And this has been making its way around social media. And I want to just play this right now, because I believe that this is a powerful, powerful, a powerful thing that we need to just hear right now. And the voices that you are going to hear are you're going to have a great feeling.
I hear the
Oh, yes, John. That was at the Trump celebration last night.
Yes, that was. Yeah, that wow. is, again, chills as you're listening to that. And it's almost as if they had been practicing that for years. And we all know this song. If we've been in the church for any length of time, you know this powerful hymn. And I don't know the full story of that video clip, but I have a feeling. Now, I'm just going to go off of my gut here. That was a spontaneous thing that everybody just joined in because they were overwhelmed by what God had done. Amen. And what God is doing. You know, I don't want us to miss what God is doing. And so how can people connect with you, Pastor Paul, and this 77 days to take back America?
Yeah, the 77 days, Troy Anderson, Kevin Jessup, Dr. Paul McGuire, Dr. Larry Kiefhoffer, and myself, and now lots of other people, we're joining in. I want everybody listening right now and everyone that reads Charisma and everybody watches John to join in. 77 days between now and the inauguration day. Let's finish the battle. Let's make sure we take America back, because there could be a lot of shenanigans. There could be a lot of law. We don't know, legal jockeying and all kinds of stuff. So let's just go ahead and pray and do this for the next 77 days. And I believe that God will hear those prayers and see us across the finish line here. So that's what we're going to be doing. So 77 days of it. We need everybody to join us in this in prayer.
And we can go to revelationwatchers.com, and that's how you can sign up for that. And you can receive that in your email inbox every single day so that you can, for these 77 days and hopefully beyond, gives us prayer action steps on how to get ready for what's to come and how do we pray in unity, because there is power when brethren dwell together in unity. And so revelationwatchers.com. I would encourage everybody that's watching on the Charisma stream to also subscribe to Pastor Paul, and everybody that is watching on Paul's channel, subscribe to Charisma Media. It's a great channel. We've got a lot of wonderful videos that we're talking about. I've done a lot of great interviews with people that like Troy Anderson, who we've mentioned with the Trump Code, which is right over my shoulder here. Very amazing insight of to some of the prophetic utterances of non-prophetic people. But now you're seeing a lot of these things play out. And so I have an interview coming up with him in just a little bit. But you know, there's a lot of great content that I have on my channel. Pastor Paul, tell us about how we can get a hold of your channel as well.
Yes. Folks, those of you watching on Charisma, just come on over to Paul Begley on YouTube. Just type my name, Paul Begley, and come over and join us. I go live almost every day spontaneously, and I do a big broadcast every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Matter of fact, this Thursday night, I'm interviewing Jonathan Kahn.
Wow.
For the first hour, and then Mike from Around the World, Mysterious Mike from Around the World, the second hour. So that should be a power night. So every Thursday night at 9 o'clock and every Sunday night at 7, two big live broadcasts, and then spontaneously the rest of the time. Go to my website, paulbegleyprophecy.com, paulbegleyprophecy.com. We're getting ready to have a webinar, John, called Spiritual Warfare. We're going to have some great speakers in that, how to go to battle against the principality and the powers of the air. And that webinar is going to be December 6th, so you can get your tickets now. You can actually go and get them now, so be a part of it. It's going to be great.
So good. This is an awesome opportunity that we've had just to go live today. I'm so glad we went live and had everybody interacting with us. Again, put Merry Christmas in the comments, because we can say Merry Christmas again. And I love that. That was a fun thing to all of a sudden just see all the comments go, Merry Christmas. This is great.
Awesome.
And I'm super excited that you are interviewing Jonathan Kahn. We've got the Dragon Prophecy here. He's one of our authors here at Charisma. There you go.
Yeah.
And that is the number one book, or that was the number one book on the New York Times bestseller list. We are so proud of that, because that book speaks so much to what is happening prophetically in our world right now. And I know I forget exactly who said this. You probably know better than I do, Pastor Paul, but it's great to be able to read the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. And that's how we need to look at our world. And that book, the Dragon's Prophecy, will help you with that. I'm looking forward to seeing that interview, Pastor Paul. So you're going to have to make sure that I get that link as well.
All right. I'll do it. We'll get it to you.
I want to thank everybody for watching and spending this time with us. Again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And let's go and make America great again. And more importantly, let's dream big again. God's dream for our nation. Amen. And we'll see you next time. God bless.